Good evening. A great crowd here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And I'd like to introduce our theme. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. What a great day we've had in the Lord. And I also, I think we'll have some popcorn testimonies maybe during the message. What is a popcorn testimony? It's like pop, you know, you get the idea. December 18th, Isaac Woods, who's on security, and Binks Lange up at Binks Lange's property up in the woods, they're going to have a whole day, December 18th, of getting dads and sons and granddads and grandsons getting free firewood and having a grill, open grill, and just having a good time, dads and sons, and that'll be fun. That's December 18th. So if you don't have a son, just go out on the street and find one and bring them up. So we'll have a good time. Stay tuned for more information, like parking or when do I ride, 10 to 2. And we'll just have a very good time. I kind of like the whole idea of being with your son or grandson and spending time in the woods and getting free firewood and eating and talking about guy stuff and that kind of thing. Okay. Secondly, Justin did a wedding down in Texas. Maybe you could hear a short word from him. Pete Wistera was down in D.C. The New York City trip happened in Washington, D.C. the last 2 days. And the kids are wondering, where's Fifth Avenue? And Pastor Love and the team. And so that. Thirdly, Doug and Bethany Pearson are here from Kansas City and from Cambodia. And we just want to welcome them. Probably there's somebody else on my mind, so we'll have something like that going on tonight here. Oh, Pam Brown. I don't know, Pam, if you want to give that little testimony to everybody. It's so edifying. Thank you. All right, here it is, very short. 1 Samuel chapter 2. What happens when your church goes sideways? Okay, chapter 2, and we have Eli and his sons, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And they did sacrifices that were illegal or not right. And do I have a stylus for that? Oh, got it. So here's one way of looking at it. Here's the, sorry. Go to the text there, chapter 2. Lord Jesus, we pray for this service to just be a lot of fun, a lot of joy here tonight. Thank you. And wisdom and love and faith and encouragement. Pastor Dennis White and Frederick and the caroling that happened, just good news everywhere. Very good news. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the church here, this is a tabernacle. This morning we explained that the tabernacle moved, but the temple was grounded, and Solomon built that temple, and then destroyed by the Babylonians, rebuilt. There was Haggai's temple or Ezra's temple. Then it was Herod's temple, the time of Christ. And he said, it is a den of thieves and robbers. Here, these two priests are not living right, and they're doing wrong things. Even sleeping with women in front of the tabernacle, verse 22, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I don't know if I wrote the Bible, I don't think I would have put that in there. But God put it in there because he knows what's in man, John 2:24. What bubbles up in the heart, that's from the flesh, the sin nature of man. And even though they are in the tabernacle, we can just draw it like this. There was their activity and their service that they did, and we could say without any doubt there was evil activity. And how that can happen, as we read in the newspapers or see in our communications and in church history, that terrible things have happened in the church and in the name of Christ and by believers and so on. Carnality and unbelief and arrogance and pride, how that can happen. But this should not discourage us, because even though it is known by Eli is the high priest and it's his family, but he doesn't change it. It says, he said unto them, verse 23, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. I want to say to you, no matter what the church goes through, never leave Christ. Never forsake Christ. Seek him. You will find him. No matter what happens with regards to people and church or churches or church history, that you are not following people, you are following Christ. God is in this picture. And it says God knew that he would slay those two sons. They are killed in the next chapter in battle. They are gone, and Eli falls off his chair and breaks his neck. He falls backward off, and it says there that he was fat. We can also say maybe his neck was stiff, and that's why it broke. He was old. He couldn't see. I am afraid that that can happen to people and to leaders. Can happen to leaders. But it can happen to you, and it can happen in your fellowship, as we'll see in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. But I want to park here for a second. It's shocking to talk about the church this way. It's sad, but it's reality. Paul faced it. There were people that corrupted the word of God, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Peter said it, 2 Peter 3:1. Just as there were false prophets, there'll be false teachers among you. Acts chapter 20, Paul said it in his conference. He said that after my departing, grievous wolves will come amongst you, not sparing the flock, taking you away and making disciples after themselves. You don't make a disciple after yourself. You make a disciple of Christ. As you follow Christ, you teach them to follow Christ. Listen to me. This is important. If they are disciple to me, then their horizontal transition to somebody else is difficult because they're disciple to me. That shouldn't be. They should be disciple to Christ. And this man over here has a ministry of Christ. And that person that I discipled to Christ, they easily discern and recognize the ministry of Christ. They can go to another country and be on a different team in greater grace, and they adjust very well because they are followers of Christ. You cannot be a follower of a woman who is saying, you must make your allegiance to me. Huh? Well, I'm getting worked up now. I'm tuning in here. I want you to think about it. No. After your departure, after you are gone, what happens to those people. They are following Jesus Christ. They find where God is speaking, what God is doing, where God is going, what God is saying. They discern it because they have been discerning by the Spirit of God in the assembly, and they're being built up in Christ in the assembly. You see it? And if a man fails, that does not destroy my faith. That does not destroy my faith. If there's a man of God that fails, I don't know the story of men that have failed. I'm sure they have, and I don't care to know so much about it. I know they have. I mean, this is in our history, in church history. But when your church goes sideways, you do not. It's a good word, I think. And it relates to Christmas. Because when Jesus came, he was 8 days old, suddenly appearing at the temple. And there were people there that recognized him. They knew him. They were of the same spirit. They recognized him. And that's in Luke chapter 2. So before we look at that for a second, we taught it this morning, but I want to say something more about it tonight. And that is, how else could there be some corruption in the tabernacle? What other things that could be wrong? What laws could be violated? What other things? What kind of abuse could happen? What kind of dishonesty? What kind of betrayal or deceit could happen? I want you to think with me, because I'm so confident about what I'm saying. And I need you. I don't ever want any of us to be disappointed or discouraged by things that happen because of people. And I have full confidence that we can finish our course with joy, and this would not be happening to us. I'm not saying because I'm anticipating. I'm not anticipating it in our church. We work and think and pray day and night for this ministry to be effective, for there to be love and joy and good fruit, and people that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to them. I'm very encouraged by the younger guys growing up, very encouraged by the battles that we have. We're not perfect, but the battles that we have, and we decide, and we're like looking unto Christ in our walk of faith, and he's good to us. And he cares about us. He's very merciful and very gracious to us. So that's a chapter for you to think about and read every once in a while. The second one is Malachi. And Malachi is a unique book because it's along the same lines. It's like God walking into a room with the Jewish worshipers and saying, "You guys are mistreating me." And they're saying, "Why are you saying that?" And then he tells them why. And then he tells them some more. And they go, "We don't understand." Then he tells them some more. 10 times in Malachi. But in chapter 3, verse 16, it shifts and it says this. "But they that feared the Lord met often and spoke one to another." Let me repeat it. "But they that feared the Lord, they met, they spoke often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written of them." We that fear God, it's bad, but those that fear God speak often one to another. What do they speak about? God's word, God's mind, God's love, God's encouragement, Christ. We speak about Christ. Our conversation is in heaven to escape from hell below. We learn about Christ. We are followers of Christ. And this brings us to that portion, last part of Luke chapter 2. If you would turn there with me. It's good. Verse 21, he was 8 days old when they went up to the temple. And I said this morning that we were there. We went to Bethlehem by bus and walked and went out into a field. And we saw some caves that are out there. It's all the same from 2,000 years ago. And we went to the cathedral where they built over where Jesus was born. And it was a great experience, and walk out in the field and look over to Moab, where Ruth came from, and to think about the Bible history and David from Bethlehem and many different things. And we looked at Herod's mausoleum, which is like a pyramid up the road a ways, and nobody goes there, they said. It's not of any interest, but millions of people go to the Bethlehem. They go to where Jesus was born as pilgrims. Herod is nothing. Christ is the King of Kings. Herod's power and his might and everything about him, it goes away like dust. But Christ is forever. So then we went up to Jerusalem, and I was thinking as we went, as we were on a bus, and this was all in our hearts and minds. And then on another day, we went up to the temple, and I thought of Mary and Joseph going up those steps to the temple to present their baby 8 days old. And God was there in her arms, going up those steps to be circumcised according to the Jewish rites. In that temple, there was somebody like you and me. I like to think of this that way. In that temple, there's somebody, just some regular guy, but God was with him. God was speaking to him, and God said to him, "You will not die until you see the Lord Christ." Verse 25. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." What's happening in the temple? Corruption, power struggles. Do you know, they said, Pastor Ben told me in Israel, he said, "Do you know that the genealogy of the high priest, it should have gone to John the Baptist?" But John the Baptist was not even in the picture. He was out in the wilderness, living, eating honey and locusts. He wasn't in the system. Corruption was in the system. The church went sideways, so to speak. It was filled with corruption, a den of thieves and robbers, arrogance, hypocrisy, emptiness, the pride of man. Do you see it in the world today? We do. But that doesn't change us. We don't care about that. We look beyond. We look to God. God hears the cry of the humble. God answers our prayer. There was a man called Simeon, and he was in Jerusalem, and the Spirit was upon him. Look at verse 20. 6, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple." And I believe that some of you, I know that you do this. I did it in my life as when I was where you are at in my walk of faith with Dr. Stevens. We did service in the morning. We got in a bus. We went to Portland. We did a service in Scarborough. We came back. We did another service in South Berwick, and I was exhausted. But I also saw God. I was exhausted after years of living this way in Bible college, working full-time job, and doing everything we could, and learning and being trained. But it wasn't the activity, it was deeper. It was like, where is God? God is in that conversation. God is in that spirit of faith, that vision. And we heard, Pastor said, we want to send a team to Finland. And it was kind of that kind of life where we just said, well, we don't know what we're doing exactly, but we are being moved by the Spirit of God in our hearts. It doesn't matter if the church goes upside down. I mean, it does, absolutely. But for you and me, we are people that are looking for Christ, looking for the truth, looking for the message. And he found it. But he's not alone. They brought the child into the temple in verse 27. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, I wonder how he put him up, took him up in his arms. You know, you can take him up in his arms like carefully. We could take him up in his arms and go, God, my Savior, the Lord's Christ, my Savior. What was it? What happened? A great event in a common world, a great thing. When the priests are buying and selling and getting money, or there's something immoral over in the corner, or something weird or something, but there is a group of people that are finding. They're finding it. They are awake. They're alert to it. Look at chapter 2 and verse 29. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And now look at Joseph and his mother are there. What do they look like? They're stunned. Verse 33. They marveled those things which were spoken of him. Mary, did you know? You know, Mary. You know, you had a baby without a man. You know that. You know that this is crazy. You know that this is extraordinary. You know. And now you're hearing it from this guy, the baby's 8 days old. What is your future like? I don't want to be long tonight, but I want to say just, I think I made the point in the story. You have Joseph and Mary, you have Anna. Another one in the group in verse 36, and she's there, and the child grew, and the family went up to Nazareth, and they carry this baking of this cake in their hearts, this reality that they cannot shake. It's in their hearts. That's us. We have it in our hearts. We love it. We want to see it in a teenager. Maybe they saw it this weekend. Maybe we can hear from them something. I want to hear about Austin, Texas. I want to hear what Pam Brown has to say and for what Doug Pearson. So can we run a microphone down, Pastor Steve? And this is just popcorn testimonies. And you get the drift. Maybe Justin could start. You know what I'm saying, Justin? A little bit. I mean, everybody's wondering, what do you want me to do? I want you to say, God is working, and the Spirit is working, and God is saying something in a world that has gone sideways. But for us, it's our great hour. It's for us, it's our time. For us, it is our joy in our ministry. For us, Christmas season is an opportunity. It's God is working and moving. That's what we want to think about tonight. It can be very short, but go ahead.
Okay.
Can you stand?
Sure. Okay, so I could say a lot of things. About Austin, Texas. How do I relate Austin, Texas to what you just said right there? That is the question. How do we? No, it's I was down there last weekend for a wedding. Just a couple in the church, and it was a destination wedding, so there was 160 people that went down to it, and my wife and I went down, and it was different because I didn't know any of these people, and they didn't know what I was going to say, and to preach the gospel in a setting like that, you can ruin a person's wedding, but they need to hear it. So we got to preach the gospel, which was amazing and nerve-wracking, but God was faithful. And I went to a church on Sunday morning. I searched for some churches in Austin, and I went to a church, and they have six different satellite churches in Austin. And I went to the 9 a.m. service thinking, you know, maybe there'll be 100 people or so. It was 600 people, and it was, and they have five other campuses, and it was the same spirit, and the message was grace, and they're a missions-orientated ministry, and it was just awesome to be able to be a part of it, to slide in to worship with brothers and sisters in Austin, Texas, yes. And to know that God's doing His work in His places with His people. So it was beautiful.
Beautiful. Amen. Awesome. Pam Brown. Pam, is this great? Yeah, Pam, right here in the middle.
So I was the reception coordinator for Cody and Taylor's wedding this Saturday. And the reception was due to end around 5. So I went about 4:30, quarter to 5. I went in the back of the hall to talk to the manager on duty. Her name is Sharon. And so we were standing there for a minute. And we were just watching the kids dance. And it was really fun. They were great. It was holy. It was pure. It was fun. And once we had our conversation, we just kind of stood there watching the kids dance. And she was tilting her head, and she looked at me, and out of the blue, she looked at me, and she said, "They're different." And she said, "I have other banquets that I've done." She's been doing this for years and years. "And people come and go from the room." She says, "But these kids didn't do that." She says, "They're different." I said, "Oh, they're great. They're from our church. We have a great group of young people." And I stood there watching her countenance, and she was almost like astonished, and like she couldn't figure it out, that how could they do and live this and have joy and be on the dance floor and be different and have it done right. So that's who we are. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. How about Pete Westera right over there? Pastor Pete. Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, I'm just happy that we had an opportunity to hang out with teenagers. That's really what I feel like we do. Think of things to do that will attract teenagers. And we had about 30 of them come with us to D.C. Went to the Bible Museum. Maybe I'll just say I was moved, really moved about to be in the Bible Museum, and I think the kids really enjoyed it, which I was a little worried about. You know, it's a museum full of Bibles, and but they really enjoyed it. So I think that was maybe an answer to my prayer. Normally we go to New York City, you know, like Central Park or something, and so. But it was great to see them, and they enjoyed it. I was so moved because the words that kept going through my mind were. That we are looking at Christ, you know, all these Bibles in this building and all these stories about the Bibles. And the Word was God, you know, John 1 just kept ringing through my mind. And that Christ had a job, and as part of the Trinity, he had a specific job. And his job was to be the self-expression of God. That he would be the word, that his medium would be communication to us. Which is, you know, mind-blowing when you're looking at your own Bible and reading it, but then just to see the history of the Bible and all these old Bibles. I know many of you have been there, but I was moved by, you know, the Gutenberg Bible and all these stories. I wish we had more time. I want to go back, but that, you know, we're just looking at Christ, the expression of Jesus Christ right in front of our eyes, and I hope that the kids got that, and it's special. It's amazing. Our Bibles are so amazing, aren't they? They're just the living Word in our lives. So I was very blessed by that.
Mm. Beautiful. Excellent. Yeah. Pastor Dennis White.
Hey, we just had an amazing time yesterday in Frederick. I think it was yesterday, right? So the weekend goes by so fast. We had about 50 people caroling on Carroll Creek, and anybody that's been to Frederick knows that creek that's there is full of boats with Christmas lights and really nice restaurants, and I mean, there was tons of people. And Nick and Dave, they stood on the bridge, and they were just singing caroling Christmas carols for like an hour and a half. And people were stopping, they were singing along, taking pictures, and a bunch of us were also soul winning. We passed out, I think, close to 600 tracts yesterday, 50 Bibles, 150 cups of hot chocolate. And people were on the streets from 1:30 all the way until 6:30. And it was a really amazing time. And I'm going to steal JB. I don't know where you are. And oh, there you are. I want to steal his testimony. Around 1:30, we had a man, some of you guys know David Cross. He was out there soul winning, handing Bibles. And he came across this young group of guys, just three guys, and had a great connection with them, talked to them about the grace and the love of God. And, you know, a really divine appointment. That's what David said. And he gave that testimony last night, and he told the names of the two men that he talked to. And as he was saying the names of the people he talked to, I was looking at JB because they were the same exact people 4 hours later that JB talked to. At the end of the conversation with JB and Norby, this young man was on JB's shoulders crying because, you know, JB says, "Do you know the love of God?" And he says, yeah, I know. And he just kind of kept pursuing that one phrase, "Do you know the love of God?" And he was on his shoulders crying and said, "I'm so thankful that God has been after me today." Because it was two or three times that somebody from our church throughout that 4 or 5 hours of evangelism, somebody talked to him about the gospel. And just to say, like, this last thing is, like, people that we met on the streets, even if they were saved, the testimony they were saying is kind of like that promise that God gave to Abraham. If you put your hands, wherever your feet shall tread, I'm going to give you this land. And believers from other churches were out there saying, "This is amazing what you guys are doing, soul winning, singing, ministering to people." And he says, they said that God is going to give you Frederick, and your ministry is going to explode. It was just an amazing, amazing evening.
Beautiful. Wow. Pastor Doug Pearson. Yeah, what is God doing?
Thank you. So my wife Bethany and I, we've been in Cambodia for a couple of years. And you know, during the COVID lockdown, we were all locked down in the church. God gave us a dorm, and we have a lot of our church members who live in the church. So during COVID, we moved into the church with our Cambodian disciples. And we were all just locked down together, you know? So we had a great time during the corona lockdowns. So how would you like to get locked down in the church next time? So the disciples are doing very well. The church is continuing there. My wife and I had to come back to America to take care of my mother's been really sick recently. And so we're just delayed in getting back to the mission field. But here we are for the Christmas season. We thank God for that. And a lot of our churches that support us are in Kansas City, where my mother is. And then also Chad Brockmeyer is there. And a couple of the churches are going to start picking up to support Chad Brockmeyer, who's going to be here next week with his wife, Ray, as they get sent out to Serbia to help out Pastor Thomas Bolacek. And so you'll see them next week. And but I wanted to say one thing about your message, Pastor Schaller, because in the near future, my prayer is I want to start a podcast. And my podcast is going to, one of the names I want to give to it is called Upper Wingers. In other words, we're not left wingers and we're not right wingers. We're upper wingers, you know? because you talked about a church going sideways, you know, and the church shouldn't go sideways. We should go up, you know, and what you said this morning really spoke to me that, you know, when we come to the church and we talk to people, we don't ask them how much they weigh. We don't ask them, you know, their age. We don't ask them if they're vaccinated or if they're not vaccinated, right? Because we're not eating from that tree. It relates to your message about the three chairs, that we're not eating from the tree of knowledge of good or evil, but we're eating from the tree of life. And so we're upper wingers, you know? We have a third narrative. We're not on this narrative of life or that narrative of life. We have a third narrative, which is the upper spiritual heavenly narrative of how God is working. And I want to tell stories in a podcast of transformation stories of how two enemies can become friends, you know? How can two people from the opposite places become friends in grace and be reconciled, grace, forgiveness? Only Jesus can produce these things. All the other religions and the politics and could never produce these things of grace, transformation. And that's why we have to be upper wingers and talk about the heavenly story. So thanks for your message, Pastor Shallon.
Thank you. That's so good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, that's amazing. Yeah. I feel that that's what's happening. The Spirit is speaking to us and teaching us so that we can. I remember Dr. Stevens at the end of his life, he was saying, we'd be with him, he was sick at home, up in his bed, bedridden and sick, and he said, well, I just would like it that you guys would get along together. He said, why can't you just get along, you know? Why can't you just get along? That was what he was saying. Because there was tension and there was, you know, this kind of thing going on. And I feel the same way. And the answer is what Doug said, Pastor Doug said, and that is it has to be something. It has to be the Holy Spirit. And you know that, but it has to be in, and the ministry has to be filled with humble people. Humble people. And I think Simeon and Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds, these are humble people. God showed them his secret. When all the world is so wrapped up with many things, but we can walk this way, and we just heard some testimonies about that. And it's very touching. Thank you so much. So let's do the offering right now. Lord Jesus, we pray you would bless this offering. And thank you for every donation, every tithe, every gift, and every heart as we give for your work. In Christ's name, amen.